Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, Mama, I'm in fear for my life from the long arm of the law.
Got miles to go before we sleep.
Lawman is putting an end to my running, and I'm so far from my
home. We will not go gently. We're going to unleash hell here in December.
Oh, Mama, I can hear you a-crying. You're so scared and all alone.
Hey, somebody fix this guy's buckle.
Hey,
so he can play football.
Coming down from the gallows, and I don't have very long.
Sounds of Dennis DeYoung and Renegade here on BehindTheSteelCurtain.com. Hello once again. My name is Brian Anthony Davis. Along with me once again is Anthony DeFeo as we take a look at the Antonio Brown trade. Now, here's the thing. This show is definitely called Steelers Hangover. And I feel really hungover from this entire situation. I am still actually to come down from it. And there was just a line in the song about, the deal being made, something like that. And I just feel like the Steelers got fleeced. But that's what we're going to do. We're going to talk about it right here on the Steelers Hangover. The reason I'm saying fleeced is what I'm feeling right now is that they gave up and gave in just to end all of the AB drama. And that's just the way I'm feeling. Don't know how to feel. So I'm hoping that this next half hour, 45 minutes, will help me see through this entire thing because I am thoroughly disgusted with everything right now. And maybe I'm the wrong person to be leading this podcast because this is the most frustrated I've been in a long time. So once again, the Steelers Hangover is brought to you by BehindTheSteelCurtain.com. All the AB news, and hopefully this is pretty much the end of it, but all the Steelers news you ever need, there's 10 new articles every single day. There's so much going on, and the very first to go ahead and present it to you will be Behind the Steel Curtain. And one of the great columnists on Behind the Steel Curtain is my good friend Anthony DeFeo. Tony, how are you feeling today?
Well, good afternoon, Brian. I'm feeling pretty good. I'm not feeling pretty good if I'm Kevin Colbert, though. I think I agree with everything you pretty much said. It feels like they just had a draft to get a first round. They reached to get a Andrew. Gave up. They didn't want to deal with it anymore, and they had no leverage. So, yeah, it's a very disappointing return for the greatest receiver in the game, the greatest receiver in team history. But in a lot of ways, it's his own fault. But what does he care, right? He's in Oakland, and the Steelers are left with a.
Having a little trouble hearing you. You're cutting in and out. But thanks for saying that. And, I'll agree with you on that. So my question is, we had this show a week ago, and we were talking about that it's probably going to the Raiders. We still felt like you're going to get a number one pick out of them. Even the number two pick wasn't the worst thing in the world because that's the 35th overall pick. But now you take a look at it, and, you're getting a third-round draft pick, that you got from Martavis Bryant. You're getting a fifth-round pick and basically the pick to replace the pick that you lost when you traded with the Raiders for Ryan Switzer. So in 10 months, this is the third trade for a wide receiver with a wide receiver being dealt in 10 months with the same team. When we're talking Bryant, we're talking Switzer, and now we're talking Antonio Brown. But I feel like the Raiders at this point shifted the leverage, and I don't understand saying that, oh, we've got to pay him more, so we're going to give you less. They have all this money underneath the cap. Why are the Steelers taking so much less for them? And the answer is simple. It's because with the Buffalo madness that happened this week, that he drove the price down upon himself. So he got everything he wanted. He left the Steelers, I'm not going to say in ruins, but he left the Steelers holding, still owing $21 million against the cap because of this guy. And it's just a whole sickening situation that the bad guy in this whole thing got everything that he wants. And I'm sure there's going to be people saying, you know, well, you know, the NFL teams are bad guys because they don't honor contracts. And, well, hey, look, I mean, they cut a player, but the player can go out and get another deal. And that's exactly what they do. And it just seems like everything that Antonio wanted in the situation, Antonio got. And the Raiders didn't pay for it pay the market price for him. As far as a trade goes to the Steelers, the compensation was low because teams knew that Antonio Brown and that piece of crap, and I don't care, I'm not being professional here, that piece of crap, Drew Rosenhaus, who's done this before in the past, went ahead and drove the market down. So the Steelers just basically had to give him away. They could have played hardball. They could have been, completely vindictive and not traded them. But what would have that settled? So at this point, are you glad that the drama's just over, Tony?
I'm glad it's over because, you know, it was all-consuming since December 31st, but I'm still not happy. I wish the drama would have continued and they would have just been more patient because, I mean, they had all off-season. They had till, the end of training camp, essentially, to make a deal with somebody for Antonio Brown, that they could have just waited. And I realized there was a roster bonus that he was due, and there's other areas that they have to address, and they probably just wanted to move on from it. But if I'm them and I'm dealing with the Raiders, like we talked about last week, give us one of your first-round picks or there's no deal. I don't care how much money you have to pay this guy. You want him? We get one of your first round picks. You have three of them. We want one of them. I think that's very fair for the greatest receiver in the game. So, I mean, I'm glad the drama's over, but I'm just not happy with the outcome at all.
Tony, I went to bed last night thinking that they were still going to get a one from the Raiders. I was convinced when I saw a third and a fifth. I'm still angry about it. I'm so angry that I'm at the point with I'm losing faith in the entire system. Dealer system, the NFL, we're just letting a-holes get what they want at this point. That was a completely – I mean, you know, he made – Antonio Brown made a mention this week that, he wants to – he wants to come back and be a Steeler years from now as in the hearts of the fans. Or I don't know how he said it, but he always wants to be recognized as a Steeler or whatever. I think you know what I'm talking about here. But for me, it's just I am not a jersey-burning guy, but the two jerseys that I have with his name on them, I do not want. In fact, you want to contact me if you want to get Tony. You want my AB jerseys or yours if you want them.
I'm good for now. I'm good for now. We'll wait till the future when those wounds are healed. But right now, I'm good.
You know what? I don't want the wounds to heal because
yeah, I can see that.
You know what? I'm just saying it. not welcome. He's not welcome in Pittsburgh, as far as I'm concerned. What did he leave them with? He trashed them. He smashed them. He liked a tweet about the quarterback raping somebody. He completely he smashed everybody. He does not care who he hung out to dry. He got what he wanted with money, and it's guaranteed money. And how could – you know what? I could not hold my head up high if I did that. So, me, I think he's a POS at this point, and I don't want him back in Pittsburgh. So, the wounds are not healed. You know, I'm boxing up anything that I have with that guy on it, and that's all I can say. I mean, he really – I don't want to say he ruined a franchise because – this is a good franchise, but he really left them in the lurch, and that whole business with Buffalo the other night, that to me showed exactly that that a player can just do whatever they want and get what they want because somebody's going to end up paying them. Until we put their foot down. And, of course, the Raiders are going to do it. Until we put our foot down and say this is ridiculous, we're allowing this to happen. A dangerous precedent has been set, and I'm sick of it. So, with that being said, I was saying just a few weeks ago that I'm not going to wish poorly on another player, but I hope it doesn't go well in Oakland or Vegas or wherever that team plays. And I just hope I hope it blows up. And in fact, I am going to go as far as saying that I wish irreparable erectile dysfunction, halitosis, and, you know, IBS on this guy. So, and Rosenhaus. And you know what? I'm going to throw in another name, Ian Rappaport. Ian Rappaport is an idiot. This guy reports lies all the time. If it was Ian Rappaport had Antonio Brown coming back to the Steelers, Le'Veon Bell coming back to the Steelers so many times. He's inept at his job, and he made this situation worse with the entire Buffalo thing that was 2 days over. It was gone on Tuesday, from what I understand. Thursday night, you and I are texting back and forth saying, wow, he's going to Buffalo. Ian Rappaport's reporting lies and reporting idiocies because he's throwing this stuff out there. How can you trust a word this guy says? And, well, we got bad sources. Well, know what kind of sources you have. But so this guy helped make it worse, because after that Buffalo stuff went down, you were not going to get any better than a 3 on this guy. And so a 3 and a 5, I mean, if they would have got a 2 and a 5, I'd be celebrating with you today, with that 2 being the 35th pick. This gives them no advantage whatsoever. This doesn't help them now. What's this help them? Gives them an extra 3? Another 5? You know who their 5s were last year? Their 5s were, Jalen Samuels, he was okay. And Marcus Allen. They're going to get no value out of those guys.
Yeah.
So, I mean, Jalen Samuels we got a little bit out of, but he's not the future of running back at that team. We could hope he is. Maybe I'm just crying. Maybe I'm just being a big baby here. But they got nothing out of this guy. You know, a 3 and a 5 to me is nothing. Maybe I'll be happy if they get a steal on draft day. But they really don't. So who are we blaming? Besides, can we really put the blame on Art Rooney? Kevin Colbert. Everyone's fired Mike Tomlin. It's all Mike Tomlin's fault. Look, shut up. I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear the Mike Tomlin stuff. Could we really blame, though, could we blame Kevin Colbert in the situation, or did he just do what he had to do just to end it?
Well, I think when Antonio Brown refused to return the boss's phone calls back in January, right after the end of the regular season, I think the boss said to Kevin Colbert, we want the guy gone. And obviously they met in Florida, but he knew that he wanted him gone at that point, because that's direct insubordination right there, when you're not answering your boss's phone calls, especially after you walk out at halftime of a game that you're being paid for. So I don't think you can really blame Kevin Colbert all that much, because I think they could have waited. And if I were them, I would have waited. And I would have put him on the exempt list. I don't know if you can do that next season. Said, all right, well, you're not going to even get paid. I'm not sure they could do that, but personally done. But they have to look out for what's best for the franchise, what they feel is best for the franchise. And Brown just was not going to make it any better. I mean, you talked about it. He was going to nix any deal that he didn't like, whether it be Buffalo, Washington, wherever they were planning on sending him. If it wasn't a situation he liked, he was just going to say, he was going to pull an Eli Manning and say, I'm not going. Well, you don't have any leverage at that point. You can't get anything better than what they got, I guess. I mean, I personally would have waited maybe closer to the draft to see if they could have maybe if talks could have heated up and maybe they could have gotten a better pick. But, you know, I don't think you can blame Kevin Colbert. The only person I blame right now is Antonio Brown, because he made this whole thing so much worse. He could have been more professional about it. He wanted to leave, fine. He could have been way more professional than he was. Instead, he acted like a jerk. There's no other way about it. You just laid out all the things that he said and did that were just awful. So, yeah, I think the only person you blame is Antonio Brown.
So, with that being said, though, you said something that really sparked something in me, though. You mentioned that they could have waited until close to the draft, $1 million. For me, they weren't willing to give up another $2.5 million here. And they ended up with so much less of a haul. But here's the questions I have for you. If they would have waited closer to the draft, would have Antonio Brown blown this up even more? What would have you gotten for him if you waited closer to the draft? Would the compensation be less? Or would have it created a situation where he would have just teams would have given him the money he wanted, or would have he just made this such a horrible situation that at this point the best you're going to get is a fifth round pick, and not even the third?
Well, that's a good point, because, I mean, Antonio Brown, business is always booming with him on social media. He's always making the rounds, and he's always saying something, and it's hard to imagine him not saying something destructive or self-destructive or team-destructive between now and the end of April. So, yeah, I mean, it's just as likely that they would have gotten worse compensation as you know, they would have gotten better compensation. So, yeah, you know, I guess all things considered, this is probably the best they could have done, but it just seems like they could have had a better return, but we'll obviously never know.
Well, let's get into the fact or fiction portion of our show. We like to do this every once in a while. So let me throw this one out to you. And it's regarding Antonio Brown. It's regarding this entire situation. So fact or fiction. The Pittsburgh Steelers, going forward, should put a clause in players' contract regarding social media and the team. What do you think, Tony?
As far as using it, fact. If it's anything that's derogatory or makes the team look bad, I mean, because other employers do that. So, yeah, I think fact.
You know, I mean, that's something we really need to, I hope they really start looking at, because, you know, social media aided him in this entire situation. I do want to say something real quick. I want to go back to some comments I made earlier because I am an apologist and I will do that. I will just say that my assessment that and my thoughts that I do wish irreparable erectile dysfunction, diarrhea, and bad breath on Antonio Brown, Drew Rosenhaus. They do not reflect the views of Anthony DeFeo and Behind the Steel Curtain, SB Nation in general. They are just my thoughts, and if anybody takes exception with those thoughts, they are mine. But I tell you what, that's not the first time I've said that today. I will continue to say that again and again. This is not the kind of guy that the Steelers want to do business with anymore. And I hope we don't get an individual like this ever again. But let's try to move forward a little bit on this, Tony. So where do the Steelers go from here? And where do they go at wide receiver? Do they go into the free agent market? Do they look at a guy like Golden Tate, who a lot of people are trying to decipher his tweet today with the emoji, help me out with this. Was it the emoji? With the
yes.
Like the eyebrows raised like the Rock, like the great Dwayne the Rock Johnson going, with the people's eyebrow. Was that a for... What, the Steelers only got a third and a fifth out of Antonio Brown, or you guys need a star wide receiver?
I think it was the latter because he's a free agent, and you know, obviously there's a job opening now at wide receiver in Pittsburgh, and I think it'd be crazy for them not to pursue somebody like that. You know, I think you can't wait till the draft to find his replacement. You have to try to find it now, and then maybe if you find another great prospect in the draft, you go for it. But yeah, I think you have to try to. You can't go into 2019 with so many unknowns. I mean, you're going to have so many as it is. I think you need to at least get a professional, veteran receiver in here to pair him with Juju.
Can you think of a better option at wide receiver than Golden Tate to go along with Juju Smith-Schuster?
Not offhand, no. I think that'd be a good signing. I mean, I've asked a couple people about that who know more about football than I do, and they said, "Oh yeah, it'd be a great addition." It all depends on the price, and as you know, the Steelers aren't necessarily eager to overspend in free agency. But I think if there's ever a season to do it, it might be this one.
So where does we've been talking about this all along, and we knew that Antonio Brown was going to be gone. But the question that I have for you now is, where does this put wide receiver now, Tony? I mean, I still think inside linebacker is number one as a need. I think cornerback is number two as a need. And I think wide receiver's three. But more than now that I think about it more, I mean, do you need a great veteran option at wide receiver to go along with Juju Smith-Schuster more than you need a corner in free agency? Let's just say free agency at this point. And then after that, we can go ahead and talk about the draft. So let's start with free agency. Is it more imperative that they go for a wideout than a corner in free agency?
In my opinion, the more I think about it, yes, because, you know, Brown and Bell and Ben, I mean, that was the bread and butter of this team. That was the engine of this team for the last how many years? That was the reason it was considered a Super Bowl contender. Well, now two of those people are gone, and, you know, you're confident in James Conner that he can do the job if healthy. But receiver, I mean, other than Juju, we really don't know what we have there. You know, you have an unknown in James Washington. You have Eli, who I think you know what you have with him. He's not really going to get much better than he is, which is a dependable slot receiver, which isn't bad. But he's certainly not Antonio Brown, and he's certainly not a starting receiver in the NFL as far as the number two. So I think you have to go out and definitely find a really good number two receiver in free agency, if you can. And then after that, then maybe you worry about the cornerback spot. But I think there's still enough there in the secondary that they can, I hate to say get by, because you don't want just to get by, but I think the secondary, it's, I guess the talent, what I'm trying to say is the talent is more evenly distributed, whereas in the receiver position, I think it's Juju, and then you just don't know.
Okay, let's play a variation of fact or fiction here. So we're just actually going to do it rapid fire. Let's do it this way. Blank would be a great option for the Pittsburgh Steelers at wide receiver through free agency. Fact or fiction? So let's start. We already talked about Golden Tate, and we're going to agree that it's fiction. So let's just go down the line with some players from my article the other day in Free Agent Market Watch. So I have it up right here. Jamison Crowder, Washington Redskins.
Fact. I think he's a good player, yeah.
Tyrell Williams, Los Angeles Chargers.
Oh, fact. I like him.
Restricted free agent Robbie Anderson, New York Jets.
I don't know much about him. I'm going to go fiction. He doesn't really excite me.
He's also a little bit of a problem child off of the field. With the law and with some things. And you have to give up a second round pick for him. So I'm going to say fiction. Michael Crabtree, Baltimore Ravens. Before you go ahead and answer that, Sean Brown, Baltimore Ravens. So both of those.
I think John Brown would be a fact. Because I think he has more upside. Michael Crabtree, also a fact, because I think he's a the kind of veteran receiver that you might be looking for, who might not cost you all that much.
Randall Cobb, Green Bay Packers.
Fact. That's another player that I'm kind of player I'm looking for, a veteran receiver who knows his craft.
With that being said, then you're probably going to say the same thing about a Pierre Garçon, a Demaryius Thomas as well, I would think. So it sounds like we could go, we'd be fine with a solid player over the age of 30 if he could come in at a good price. Is that what you're agreeing to?
Absolutely.
Okay, so let's take five of these, and I'm going to take Tyrell Williams off the list. I think he would be a great option. He's 27 years old. He's 6'4". He's probably going to cost a team a lot of money. So we're both agreeing that he would be a good fit for the Steelers, but for this exercise, I'm going to go ahead and take him off. So let's go Golden Tate, Michael Crabtree, Sean Brown, Randall Cobb, and Pierre Garçon. And let's rank them with one being the highest and one being the best fit, and five being, we take them, but not as high as number one. So let's go ahead with number five.
I'm going to go with, I think, Garçon. I think he's probably – I think he saw his best years many years ago, so I think he's probably the lowest on the list that I would be excited about.
How about number four? Let me throw one out. Maybe Crabtree?
Yeah, he's another one.
Or
who's,
Cobb.
Who's Crabtree or Cobb? I think Crabtree's probably number four, because I think he's another one whose best years are behind him, but he can still give you something.
So I guess then Cobb number three?
Yeah, Cobb. And then I think I'm going to go with John Brown as number two. I think he'd be. I think I like him. I think he's a younger receiver. So I don't know exactly how old he is, but he's a newer receiver. And then I think Golden Tate would be number one. I think he's definitely the one that can come in and give you the biggest bang for your buck right away.
Well, you know, those are some good names. I agree with you on that. I think out of those five, I would be looking at John Brown and Golden Tate. And you might be able to get a guy like John Brown cheaper. John Brown is the guy that could take the top off of the defense really easily, could stretch him out. Here's some other names. And Demaryius Thomas and Dez Bryant, you know, superstars in the past, probably a little less attractive. Would you take a flyer on a Dez Bryant?
Actually, I would. I mean, I think, you know, he's not, I mean, he's obviously a diva receiver, but he's also somebody, if you're willing to, if you're willing to bring him on, he has potential. You know, obviously he's a home run hitter, and, you know, he can get you close to what AB could do in his prime. So, I would personally take a flyer on Dez Bryant, because I like Dez Bryant, but then again, I don't have to deal with Dez Bryant, so it's easy for me to say.
Well, it feels like we've had to deal a lot with Antonio Brown over the last 3 months, and it is over. It's all over but the crying, and there's going to be lots of crying in Steeler Nation, Tony, and we know that, and we understand that. It's just disgusting that you couldn't get more out of a guy like this, and I don't think, all you GMs out there that want to play GMs and saying you should have done this, could have done this, I don't think you could have. This was not a fair fight. It really wasn't set up to be a fair fight whatsoever. And the Steelers are going to look bad for a while. They can turn it around with a very good 2019, a very smart free agent period, and a very intelligent draft. And if they can do that, they can turn this whole thing around. Fact or fiction, the Oakland Raiders win over six games in 2019.
I want to say fact. They were pretty good a couple of years ago. I think they had some injury problems the last couple of seasons. So I'm going to go with fact. I don't think they're going to win many more than games, because I think the Chiefs and the Chargers are clearly the two best teams in that division. So, yeah, I'm going to say fact, but not by much.
You know what? We talked about the Raiders, Antonio Brown, Drew Rosenhaus, of course, all being winners in this, with the Steelers being the loser here. I would throw Ian Rappaport in the loser section, because I think he lost a ton of credibility throughout this whole thing, reporting what he has reported and never being right on anything. Maybe he got the Raider thing right at the end, but that wasn't hard to do. Here's another winner in this whole thing. Le'Veon Bell is no longer public enemy number one with Steeler Nation.
No.
And now looks like he's being recruited to the Raiders as well. Could you see that happening? Those two and trading gold for silver, and seeing both of those two killer bees together in Oakland, Vegas, or hell, wherever they're playing.
Can I see it happen? Absolutely, I could see it happen. I mean, it's the Raiders. As you said, they have a lot of room under their cap anyway, and they tend to love. They've always had a reputation for loving the bad boys, so to speak, the renegades. And clearly, at least in Pittsburgh, Antonio Brown and Le'Veon Bell are renegades, they're bad guys. So I could definitely see the Raiders doing that and bringing them both in the fold. Because first of all, like you said, they're moving to Vegas, so they need some excitement for their new city. And number two, they would be considered Super Bowl contenders right away, because that's how people are. I don't think they would be Super Bowl contenders, but that's how people would view them. So I could definitely see that happening. And it'd be a good story, actually, to see those two back together. I think that'd be a great story just as a football fan. As a Steeler fan, you didn't want to see him fail, obviously, but just for pure entertainment, it would be a great story.
Fact or fiction, and this is going to be our final one of the night. I am wrong. Brian Davis is wrong for being so disillusioned with football right now.
Fiction. I mean,
you're not
going to
hurt my feelings.
No. I don't think you ever. You have every right to be angry. I mean, one moment you're cheering on Antonio Brown. He's the best receiver in the game. Business is booming. You want to love him. You said you have two of his jerseys. And then within, 9 weeks, he's gone for a third and a fifth round pick. And he acts like a complete jerk on his way out of town. I mean, you have all the right in the world to be angry and be disillusioned. I mean, it's how many all-time Steeler greats have left the team in such an ugly fashion? I can't, other than Franco, who was at the end of the line anyway, I can't think of many. That
and
have
that wasn't
such a,
And to me, I mean, you and I were 12 years old when that happened, and it was kind of devastating, but it wasn't as ugly as this.
No, not even close.
I mean, his contract was up. So it wasn't a situation. I mean, it was a completely different world then. And he never really – and he kept coming back as a Steeler right away. I mean, as soon as his time in Seattle was over.
If you remember reading the book, was it Their Life's Work? That Christmas, he was – after being cut, I think that Christmas he was at the Rooney's home for their Christmas party. I mean, 5 months after being cut. So, I mean, he was a Steeler for a couple months or a couple weeks. So, I mean, that was just the only really bad example I can think of, but it really wasn't that bad. This was ridiculous with Antonio Brown. This was a guy who wanted his own way and didn't care who he stepped on, whose feelings he hurt, how much he hurt his legacy. He didn't care how or what he had to do to get his own way, and it's going to be hard for people to really ever accept this guy back into their hearts again. It's going to be like a Terry Bradshaw thing, I think, where it's going to take 20 years, and maybe that might not be enough.
Yeah, but the fans weren't mad at Terry Bradshaw. Terry Bradshaw was mad at the organization. This is, I mean, for all intents and purposes, Troy Polamalu could be mad at the organization, but the fans just adore him. And the fans don't like the way it went down. So with that being said, it was a business move. So with that being a business move, am I being a hypocrite for being angry at Antonio Brown for making what he thought was a business move?
No, because he didn't handle it right. He did not handle it in a professional manner. He basically handled it in a office space kind of way. he thumbed his nose at the company on the way out. I mean, he became Peter Gibbons. I mean, that's exactly what he did. He just did not care what he said, what he did. He wanted out of town, and he broke the copier on the way out. So he was not professional at all. So if you're gonna act like that in a very public way, then you have to be prepared for people such as yourself to say, I don't want to wear your jersey anymore. So I mean, you have every right to be angry at how he handled himself, and so do many other Steeler fans.
Burn your jerseys. I don't think that's a classy move. I mean, don't do that. I mean, you know, give it to a homeless guy. Give it to somebody that would actually appreciate it. You know, I mean, it's a piece of clothing. Donate it. Do something like that. But don't burn a jersey. But just don't. I mean, you know what? I'm just going to say this. Don't stop believing in the Steelers. I may be down, I may be disillusioned, but this team is going to live to fight again, and this team is still more of a contender in 2019 than the Raiders are. Would you agree with that, Tony?
I would absolutely agree with that. And I will also say this. Antonio Brown's gone. The receiving core is kind of decimated right now, but it's also in good hands because they have a great one, a new great one in Juju Smith-Schuster, who looks like, at this point anyway, he has what it takes to be a great one on the field and off the field. You know, they compare him to Hines Ward, and Antonio Brown spent the last 9 years proving he was an all-time great, but he also proved that he's no Hines Ward. He's no team player. He's no leader. And Juju Smith-Schuster looks like he has the ability to be that kind of player, to be another number 86. And if he's another number 86 and he doesn't get the same kind of stats as an Antonio Brown, I think he's still going to be – they're still going to be much better off. And I think there is hope for the future with this team as far as contending next year and as far as the overall class of the players. Because I think we've talked about this before – how they've gone out of their way to draft character guys in recent years, and Juju Smith-Schuster is certainly one of those guys in every way. So I think there is hope and there's reason to be happy, just not right now.
And you know what? We have our time to sports mourn. And sports mourning is something that's acceptable. And as long as you put sports mourning into perspective with other things going on in the world and life. With that being said, you made me smile for the first time today by mentioning Office Space and Peter Gibbons. So thank you for that. I will also say you made me smile bringing up Juju Smith-Schuster because he had a two-word tweet today, this morning. Did you see that tweet?
I loved it. I'm ready.
I'm ready. So you know what? Thank you, Juju. Thank you, Anthony DeFeo. Thank you, Behind the Steel Curtain, for putting up with me being upset. But guess what? I'm just going to, you know, turn the dial, and I'm going to say two words. I'm ready. So that was a quick turnaround, but I'm ready. If there's guys like Juju in the room, I'm ready. If there's guys like James Conner in the room, I'm ready. And if there's a guy like Le'Veon Bell, like Antonio Brown, not in the room, then you know what? Being said, for Tony DeFeo, my name is Brian Anthony Davis. This was a very special edition of Behind the Steel Curtain's Steelers Hangover. And with that being said, you, my friend, have just been hungover. We'll see you next week. And remember, through all this, just keep thinking two words. I'm ready. Good day, everybody.